CBS News. I'm Sam Litzinger. This has experts and those still looking for work hoping things are getting better out there. Employers added 227,000 jobs last month, finishing three of the best months for hiring since the recession began. President Obama says good, but there's room for improvement. He's been visiting a Rolls-Royce aircraft engine plant in Prince George, Virginia.
The economy is getting strong. When I come to places like this and I see the work that's being done, it gives me confidence there are better days ahead.
Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBSMoneyWatch.com.
We still have a long way to go because even at this pace, which is better than where we were last year, right, it will take 4 years to return to that 5% unemployment rate we saw before the recession started.
The jobless rate is holding steady at 8.3% because workers who had earlier abandoned their hunt were coming back into the labor force. Newt Gingrich is asking voters in Alabama and Mississippi to give his campaign a boost heading into next week's primaries.
I can't change Washington. Calista can't change Washington. It's too big. It's too complicated. But with your help, together we can change Washington. But I need each of you to decide that your country's worth saving.
Gingrich won only his home state of Georgia on Super Tuesday. Some Republicans are calling on him to quit the presidential race. CBS's Carter Yang tells us about an unusual flight disruption on board an American Airlines plane that was about to take off from Dallas.
The flight was just about to take off when officials say a female flight attendant yelled that the plane would crash if it took off. We're also told that she mentioned the 9/11 terrorist attacks as well as union issues. The plane returned to the gate where police removed the woman from the plane. She's now been transported to a local hospital for evaluation, we're told. American also tells us that a second flight attendant was brought to the hospital. We don't know what his or her involvement with the incident was.
The plane was allowed to leave with a new crew. CBS News correspondent Pam Coulter says there's help coming for some people who have Bank of America mortgages on homes that have lost a lot of their value.
About 200,000 homeowners with mortgages held by Bank of America will get mortgage relief. Those who are underwater, they owe more than their homes are worth, will have what they owe reduced by as much as $100,000. In doing so, the bank trims the amount of penalties it owes the government in a settlement involving abusive home lending and fraudulent foreclosure practices by $850 million.
Facebook suggested that two women might want to friend each other since they were both connected to Alan O'Neill. Turns out, according to prosecutor Mark Linguist in Tacoma, Washington, they were both married to him at the same time.
Wife number one, when she learned on Facebook that her husband had married wife number two, went straight to his mother. He then showed up at wife number one's house and admitted, yes, they were still married, and yes, he'd married another woman as well.
He's facing bigamy charges now. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 12 points. This is CBS News.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's Crizal. Crizal. Ask for the mature eye care professional.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer. I had to go cross town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
The Pope has a message for American bishops. Speak up more about what he sees as moral threats. CBS News reporter Sabina Castelfranco.
Pope Benedict told American bishops meeting with him at the Vatican that they must do more to teach about the evils of premarital sex and the need for responsible sexuality. He said more also needs to be done about denouncing what he called the powerful gay marriage lobby in the U.S. The Pope feels there is an urgent need for Catholics in the United States to rediscover the value of chastity. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News, Rome.
The remains of five Irish immigrants who were killed while building a Pennsylvania railroad in 1832 are being reinterred in a cemetery near Philadelphia. Researchers say the workers were first buried in unmarked graves after they were murdered by prejudiced vigilantes. Their skeletons were only recently found. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
When you were a kid, you had all sorts of toys. toy cars, boats, trucks, entire toy boxes full of fun. Of course, you never really outgrow your toys, do you? It's just that now, instead of a box full, you have a garage full. Cars, trucks, boats, motorcycles, ATVs, and more. As you get older, your love of toys just gets stronger. So protect those toys the best way possible by switching to Allstate. An Allstate agent can help do the switching, paperwork, bundle all your policies together, and even find you a bunch of discounts. So if you love your toys, make sure you protect your toys by making one call to an Allstate agent.
Protect all your toys with Allstate. Find an agent near you at allstate.com today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you like Allstate.
The film festival is full swing. We're going to have two movie makers in today, and also Karen Veeley's coming our way in just a few minutes on Talk of Sheep.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, so here's what I thought we'd do. We're going to start today with a little humor. Somebody sent me some humor. I'm going to share with you. A very successful attorney parked his brand-new Lexus in front of his office, ready to show it off to his colleagues. As he was getting out, a truck came by too closely and completely tore off the driver's door. Fortunately, a cop in a police car was close enough to see the accident and pulled up behind the Lexus with his lights flashing. Before the cop had a chance to ask any questions, the attorney started screaming hysterically about how his Lexus, which he had just purchased the day before, was completely ruined, would never be the same again, no matter how any bar, body shop, car people ever tried to make it new again. After the lawyer finally wound down from his rant, the cop shook his head in disbelief. He said, "I can't believe how materialistic you lawyers are," he said. "You are so focused on your possessions that you neglect the important things in life." "How can you say such a thing?" asked the lawyer. The cop replied, "Don't you even realize that your left arm is missing? It was severed when the truck hit you." "Oh, my God. Oh, my God," screamed the lawyer. There goes my Rolex.
Happy Friday to you. Worked your butt off again. Happy Friday to you. Go get drunk with all your friends. By Sunday after you've been on a bender, your boss's face you barely will remember. Happy Friday to you. Have a great weekend.
Gumbo. More barbecue, please.
More ribs, more chicken, more pork, more beef, more burgers, more onion rings, more potato chips, more beans, more fried green tomatoes.
More barbecue, please.
More slaw, more tater salad, more house salad, more Cobb salad, more Caesar salad, and more Calypso salad. More sodas, more brewskis, more lemonade, more iced tea.
More barbecue, please.
At Osus in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and at Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
More barbecue, please.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking with a tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047, 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
Coastal Computers, people in the business getting on with your business and doing your thing right there. Coastal Computers can do it for you. All right, let's you're Bill Bank of Talk of Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network, 1340 KYMS, your news station. And Karen should be in a little bit. Right now we're going to do our flashback highlight, our thing in the Tribune that we do. Highland history on March 9th in 1862 during the Civil War, the ironclad USS Monitor and the CSS Virginia, formerly the USS Merrimack, clashed for 5 hours to a draw at Hampton Roads, Virginia. And they didn't fight again. That was the end of it. In 1661, Cardinal Jules Marzen, the chief minister of France, died, leaving King Louis the 14th in full control. In 1962, the science fantasy novel A Wrinkle in Time by Madeleine L. Engel was published. 1997, gangster rapper Notorious B.I.G., whose real name was Christopher Wallace, was killed in a still-unsolved drive-by shooting in L.A. He was 24. 1 year ago, after a trip to the International Space Station, Shuttle Discovery ended its career as the most flown U.S. spaceship ever, returning from orbit for the last time. Our birthdays today, singer-actress Kaylee Smith is 80. Singer Mark Lindsay is from Paul Revere and the Raiders is 70 years old. Former ABC anchorman Charles Gibson is 69. Actress Juliette Binoche is 48. Actor Emmanuel Lewis is 41. Actress Brittany Snow is 26. And rapper Bow Wow is 25. Got carried away. Happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you if it's yours today.
Happy birthday to you.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henney. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
I have to tell you the truth. I use this piece of music to summon Karen Vila like the bat signal. So far, no one's walked through the door. Let's get another minute. I don't think she's coming. Hope she's okay. Anyway, but I don't know. Maybe she'll be here a little bit later. But anyway, that's a bust right there. There's no question about that. There's no sense in wondering what happened. Yeah, okay, so we're prepared to move on with other things. Hi, you're Bill. It's Friday. Film festival's going crazy, whatnot. I'll tell you who we had coming in here today. We have Gail Mooney and Aaron Kelly. They're coming in. They have a special movie going on. And then at, I believe it's at 1:30, Dustin Bancroft and Nicola Bancroft are coming in, and they're coming in also. Apparently the bat signals worked. Let me put it back up again. Here she is, Queen Beely's in the studio. Here she is, Karen. Actually, Karen didn't realize, and a matter of fact, it happened to me this morning, too. You know, this film festival, the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival, with international stars and people, is a big deal. And so people are coming from every which way. And so traffic, I'm going to warn you right now, on this Friday, and probably tomorrow, Saturday, and probably Sunday, too. Traffic's is bad.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah. I usually come in from Avila, and I was over at the courthouse watching a wild and woolly trial with talks about I can't even say on the radio. it was pretty graphic information regarding a murder and weird ways to do drugs that I've never heard of, and had even the judge turning around going, "You put that in your rectum?" One of the witnesses from the judge's seat, and I'm not going to go any further than okay, that, but it was different. But anyway, yeah, traffic is much much thicker than usual, much heavier.
Be aware, be advised. So you know how. So now what you're going to find is, you know, when normally one or two people will go left in front of you when your lights turn green, it'll be five or six. You know, so just don't try to rush into the intersection because you'll be killed. All right, let's talk about all kinds of stuff that we got to talk about today. And one of the things I want to talk about first was, if you're willing, is this Oceana Medical Marijuana Dispensary that got shot down. And so Tammy Murray was in here the other day, and you know she thought, well, we've done everything in the whole wide world we possibly can do. Now, I didn't get a chance this morning, and I was racing around. I was talking to movie people and whatnot. And I was going to try to call Sheriff Parkinson this morning and voice this question. The dissension came with the idea that there are homes immediately close by this pot dispenser. The thing, so here's there's a funny double-edged sword that's going on here. The people that operate the dispensary and the people that are patients that go to the dispensary, they want to feel like they're safe. You know, they're not going to walk out the front door and somebody's going to hit them upside the head and steal their pot they just got. The neighborhood is probably concerned, and I don't know this for a fact, but that's what I was going to call Sheriff Parkinson. Maybe you know this. The neighborhood's, I guess, concerned because they're afraid of the opposite thing, that people that are undesirable, that are not using the facility, but will try to buy perhaps marijuana from the people coming out of it. So that's the only thing I can guess. Otherwise, I can't understand a million years why they'd say no to this.
Well, I think the and technically the excuses that they've been using are not going to be, that excuse is not going to, or that reason is not going to work if an appeal that is going through currently goes through. But the appeal says, hey, if I apply to use an area that is zoned, doesn't need a zoning change, zoned business, that works and passes all the reasons, you can't, you know, they can't decide, hey, it's not okay because it's medical marijuana. So this home is business, this property is a business property. The one thing, though, that will still probably stop this, even if that appeal of a case that is currently going through the appellate court in California goes the way that they think it will, this property is 1,000 feet from a park.
Now, here again we have this thing that is totally like, say what? Is there a liquor store within 1,000 feet from that park? Is there anybody that sells liquor 1,000 feet from that park? I bet.
There are different rules for different things.
Well, I know, but here's what I'm saying is, it almost doesn't make any sense. If you went to Mitchell Park in San Luis Obispo, there's a deli right across the street that sells beer and wine, and so it's like it's across the it's 10 feet away. As however wide a street is, that's how far it is. And so this is like the ongoing prejudice of, well, but it's marijuana. You have to understand it's marijuana, and therefore, you know, we have to have it 1,000 feet away from a school or a park. It's like, why? What does that have to do with, you know, make an auto parts store be 1,000 feet away from a park or anything else?
No.
Make 1,000. And if you took any other medical type of business that did anything, and, you know, general practitioner or whatever, they wouldn't make him stay 1,000 feet away from a park.
They are, though, fairly, if you, for example, there is a little-known pharmaceutical company that sends drugs to doctors to give directly to their patients out of Arroyo Grande. And it's very restrictive about where they're at, windows, what can be seen. I mean, it's a very restrictive business when you have pharmaceutical, when you have a building that's primarily full of pharmaceuticals. So there are some laws with pharmaceuticals also. I don't think doctor offices, but I do think pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
And I don't know the 1,000 feet. I just know that before you can get approved, they're trying to move the building, or they've moved into a new spot, and there's a whole lot of approvals required because they are housing pharmaceuticals.
Well, here's the thing that really, I mean, one of the things that's really disconcerting about this is that this Tammy woman has spent fortunes on this whole thing, trying to get permits and all that. I mean, this isn't a free process in this county. You know, she goes through all this appeals and everything else and tries to get to talk to the right people in the city or county, and then all of a sudden they go fooey on youey. It's like, well, wait a minute. You led this woman to believe that everything was fine, that she had her ducks in a row. Well, there's something almost mean-spirited about doing this.
Well,
tell the lady way back 6 months ago, now we're never going to prove it.
If you look at this, though, it's been over 4 years ago, the Board of Supervisors voted in favor of having medical marijuana facilities, and since then they voted out every one. And the one in The one in Napomo, what did they say? Proximity to a school, but you had to cross a freeway. I mean, I found that one even, you know, and again, they can do the distancing to, that's one thing that they can throw into, legally throw in. But if the appeal goes through, it's going to be possible. But here's the other thing. You also now have the feds going around and taking dozens and dozens of buildings in California. Now, what has happened is they come in and they send over a letter saying shut down within this time or we can take the building. And they're actually taking properties, seizing properties. And they have said in the emails from the federal attorneys, they say we're not focusing on true co-ops. We are focusing on these people that are making a ton of money selling marijuana and are really not truly a co-op. But I think there's probably 20 or 30 people that have, you know, these things that they've gone after the buildings on now.
Tammy said to me, she said, well, hopefully the California state legislature is going to finally get their act together and put some kind of rules in place that are going to make a difference and work it out with the feds. And quite frankly, that's like if you were with the Ringling Brothers Circus in 1950 waiting for Emmett Kelly to die. You know, so you could be the head clown. You got a long wait because that's about what we have in Sacramento going on. So anyway, I find it just very unfortunate, to tell you the truth. I think it's just kind of weird.
For people that, you know, truly have a medical need, and I think they just came out with something that with depression, they have now had studies have come out and say that suicides are very unlikely if you're regularly smoking pot.
Of course. And I also remember it's a gateway drug. And so if you smoke pot, you will immediately go from that to snorting cocaine and then injecting heroin in your arm.
And or other places.
According to court records, other places. All right. So, anyways, that's really weird. We got to get going because we got a lot of things to cover in an hour. All right. Let's do. We might as well bring this up here. Rush not rushing from San Luis Obispo County. Of course, all the controversy went around what he had to say about this girl. So he says executives from both county radio stations carrying Limbaugh's program said Thursday have no intention of canceling the controversial talker, as several other radio stations in the growing list of advertisers have done. Ronald Roy, regional vice president of El Dorado Broadcasting over at KVC, said he'll continue. And Kevin Will up in Paso Robles at KPRL said, we're not gonna, because it brings them money. You know, Rush Limbaugh is a tisk-tisk kind of a thing. And not even that, and with his followers, I'll call him that, but his followers, they don't even tisk it. They think, he said what he should have said. You know, so the radio stations aren't going to change anything.
Well, he's lost, over 20 to 30 advertisers at this point. And he has lost a number of stations, have stopped carrying him throughout the country. KVC responded back quickly. KPRL, for some reason, has a bone to pick with Cal Coast News, which it's kind of odd some of the people... I heard two different people that really didn't like Cal Coast News this week, and one of them had to do with they really didn't think Josh Aguda and Karen Guth did anything wrong, that they shouldn't have gone to jail, and if I hadn't written about it, they wouldn't have, and they hang out with Jolie, and Josh is now out of jail. And they said, oh, he's buff and happy, but you ruined his life. I thought, wait a minute. I don't think I'm the one that lost $360 million of other people's money. But it's interesting, but KPRL has had a bone to pick with Cal Coast News over Kelly Gearhart for years.
Don't you? Well, you have to realize something. Okay, so, and this is what they actually said, don't know anything, in an email to you.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Actually, everyone in the men's colony and now in the jails, you know, it was somebody else's fault through there. So you might as well accept that right now. So take the blame for whatever you want to. Yeah, you know, because that's they never did it. It was always something else. Anyway, it's very strange. You know, and remember the Rush Limbaugh got in another brouhaha here a while back?
He didn't, but it wasn't quite as bad as this.
No, it wasn't as bad as this one, but it was a little bit strange, and I can't remember what it is, and I'm slipping my mind at the moment. But anyway, so there's Rush, and he's still going away. All right, so, and that doesn't surprise me. I never thought in a million years somebody in El Dorado would take him off. I just didn't think they would at all. All right, other people that are in the news today, things that are going on. What do you want to bring up first?
I also find it interesting. I've talked to a number of people in law enforcement, and since the cross...
There has been a pretty concentrated effort of racism and race literature and different race signs. You talk about last week, we talked about service stations.
The gas stations, people put on pants on some pumps.
And I hadn't posted it yet. I found out after that, these damn pamphlets are in Paso Robles, they're in Templeton. They've been posted out in Cal Poly. And they are very, very hate-filled.
And they are very, very hateful. And it's, they were wanting people to take action, basically, like, they've never had a sandwich down there by the spikes, and it's just a sandwich. We'll all be fine. Everything will be going just fine. Well, thank you very much. So, that out of the entire, most of the company ceases. That's not right, I'm telling you. I think the commission has lost a lot of valuable money.
It's interesting how people say, in one sense, they go, if you need oil, actually, we don't need oil. We have ourselves in the country, so we don't need oil. We don't need oil ever. We need to have other sources, but that's not the point. It's not people not realizing and trying to recognize it. And if people in the Wall Street Journal believe this is a section of you.
I mean, it's like my wife and President's speech, the price of oil is determined by supply and demand, and more importantly, by people that are investors at Wall Street.
And they're the ones jacking the price of oil.
You know, it's an imaginary bubble that they create. And then you're stuck with it.
I think, to act globally, think globally. You know, we're blind to ship oil from other countries across the world. When we have oil, that part I do see some point in that. Also, what I'm able to, the people out there say we don't want it in our neighborhood, we don't want it here. But the staff report by Brandon Benefani didn't do it because of the noise decibels and a couple of things don't jive with the EIR report. Now, the EIR report, the developer doesn't go, okay, I want that guy over there that knows it's oil to do it. The county picks the person that does the EIR report. The developer pays for it, the county picks the person. Now, the EIR report came back positive, but the staff report, I think the EIR report was much more aggressive. That I do see being somewhat of an issue.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure my price came over. It stinks. I mean, let me be honest, I don't think they have a way to mitigate that.
And I don't know. I don't know, but they think it's all mitigated, and price can't be if they don't.
This is much further out of the back corner, and it's not near a lot of traffic where people are.
It's not near, it's not a popular area like price can't.
Well, people are in that, that's a pretty traffic area. All right, we have a lot to talk about. It's just a busy Friday, and we're going to talk about some stuff down here, and we're going to take a break on that. Come April 26th, 8 p.m., Hampshire Casino Resort, Manasseh, in Fuego.
It's an unprecedented and spectacular journey of music and dance from Mundo Flamenco to Salsa and Tango. Witness the exotic and romantic explosion of the world and weather. The awe-inspiring Latin phenomena that captured the hearts of millions. Mundo Flamenco returns with a brand new show. Direct from the records on Dancing with the Stars and EDS comes the Emmy Award-winning world music and dance experience that shatters all the rules. The show that celebrates music, love, and life. Tickets are on sale now at QQMash and QQMashCasino.com or call 1-800-585-3737.
Hey, you know the little girl, I'm not in the bag of the cold. I'm running, shopping, rambling, eating, traveling, staying, eating.
Cool.
It's been crazy. Now I want you to do something for you. How's this sound? Slow, county, local. A cozy, tucked away, elegant, yet relaxed, craftsman style in a roll-up hot tub. Secluded out elegance mixed with divine supply. You and your partner sound pretty great right about now, doesn't it? The Avalon Village Inn is great. And when I add in a blend of relaxing and healthy outdoor activity to go with your gentle slumbering, you and your partner are all set for the most beneficial trip to relaxation land. Now the best part. Through March 31st, you can enjoy the Babylon Village Inn, beautiful hot tub deluxe packages for just $99 a night on Sunday through Thursday. So, as you see, you now really have one decision to make. Honey, when are we leaving for Babylon Village Inn? Babylon Village Inn in beautiful Babylon Beach, California. Or online at BabylonVillageInn.com.
I know one of the sources on that. They talked to me. And
they had had trouble for years, and an officer approached them and thought I knew about it, and they told the officer, yes, it is going on, and gave them details, and they were able to go in. But there were, you know, they had been there wherever years, but were not able to get that. Here's the thing. Every department is low on cash right now. The rest of them are taking away administrative fees. They take away from the top guy. They have pulled the officers off the street. As I called around in other departments, they say, oh, we're down by over down two guys. No one else is saying they're down 15, 20 guys. Castle Lobos, which is making over $200,000 a year, and then the city manager is making over $200,000 a year, and then they write emails and they say, sweet, cool, I'm loving the air. I'm almost making, Gail Wilcox, they sound like fire boys, but it's, at the same time, they were actually increasing management staff in the police department by taking people off the street. So it's just a different way of handling the low money.
Okay, we had a woman who was in law enforcement service with the Castle Lobos Park. Snatching the street. Is that on the list of things you can do to?
What do you mean?
Police department?
Well, yeah, they're allowing it. They can get away. Right. But they aren't really supposed to get anything. Even if batteries ongoing. If it's not ongoing, they're in short mode. They're supposed to put the person email in the complaint. So if you call them, they're on short mode. You email it in, they're not going to show up. And most people don't email in. They don't allow their own police report. They don't go online, find out how, and type in what happened. It's just not going to happen. And I think some people have given that. They stop online. It's got to be very frustrating when you see something going down and you call the police department and they never show. But I have a feeling that as the same thing about Lobos come down, we have found out a number of, we're going to have a number of more stories we've got about the House of Police Department. Some really pertinent files, employee files, things going on with the union. There's a number of issues in the House of Lobos, and I think as things come out, hopefully the public becomes aware. Now, for some odd reason, the city council is looking at any of these things. They have questions that they don't even read in the newspaper reports where the police department shows up because they're the division branch over the police department, which actually could be more incorrect. They have no power over the employees other than the city manager and the city attorney fire them. Everyone else is under the purview of the city manager. But they're actually staying in the dark and In the email, if it comes from the council, we have to make a decision this way, we will hear the whole story from the city. So they're getting the whole story from the city manager and not reading any news reports or have an idea of what's going on in their town.
All right, so another opinion piece that was included by the today. And so that's what Wisconsin is doing once again. So it's not one link, so I just tell people that you should go to the council stuff.com and read some of the things. And when he continues to say that the city council needs to know what's going on and take action.
And I'm kind of surprised how, how would you say? How in the dark they appear to be. One of the interesting things is, for example, several council members told me they were told about the safety mode. I have an email between Picanza, the mayor, and the Jim Mapper, Solomon, where he said, I never knew about this. And that's just a few months ago. So there really is a real lack of understanding about what's going on in the city by the council as I read over dozens of emails.
Wait, here's the reality of it.
I cannot know. If you just sat in the middle of the field somewhere along the line, somebody should get to you. I think they just want to let anybody talk to them. Somebody tries to talk to them about the police department. No, we can't. We're the district branch. You know, and I think it's just shocking that we're just a shoulder over the police department and bringing them out of a council person. They usually are very, that's a job, that's a people's representative. They are not a legal body that does legal action against police officers.
That's just stupid.
But there are so many issues, and there's a number of cases, and more information. And I think it's going to be a story that continues on throughout the year. And again, you have a murder trial that day, which I'll have a story for a couple of days. One of the issues there is that officers have told me this would not have occurred if we were to take care of drugs and big games. And this was absolutely having a lot to do with drugs. You know, a man was dealing drugs. Out of the hotel there. And doing a lot of business. A lot of other weird things. This thing is bizarre past the point.
So let me ask you this, because I just tell people, I don't need the details of sexual assault.
I would bet dollars and donuts in the
letters and then emails or whatever, KKCC would be 10 to 1 in support of Rush Limbaugh. Because he's got his minions, you know, and they believe in the man. And so it doesn't matter if he calls a girl a slut. That has nothing to do with anything as far as they're concerned. He'd make a point. They like my point. I guarantee you. And I know Rush Limbaugh thing that we were talking about. But and say, do you believe this doesn't matter? And I would bet they'd say, well, who was just making a point?
Ridiculous thing about how ridiculous it was that John Stewart, Stephen Colbert can do this discourse they do, and get away with it, and yet Greg Rusevich was trying to do it, and they don't get away with it. It's like, what are you stupid? You're not supposed to be comedians. They're comedians. That's what they do. You don't understand. That's what they do. They don't play journalists. They play comedians.
So the line between your entertainment has completely blurred, and now we have, quote, journalists
Yeah, it was funny. Nothing they cut to a commercial.
Yeah.
Weird. Absolutely weird.
We're in a show.
We're in a show.
Yeah. Actually, we've run out of time too, I got things in the works here.
CBS Ghostbusters from the rock. It's become a piece of art.
It may become a bit like a celebration of
waiting
as the 342-ton piece of wood is being transported 105 miles from the Southern California desert to the LA County Museum of Art.
That's not something that
the world around people are showing up to look and see.
It's a dream of some artists, and now they're making it happen.
Many wonder, is this art not an art? The museum plans to display the rocks in such a way that it appears to be floating in the air.
When you're a kid, you have all sorts of toys. Toy cars, boats, trucks, entire toy boxes full of fun. Of course, you never think about how a rodeo is this dude. It's just that house instead of a box full. You have a garage. Cars, trucks, boats, motorcycles, ATVs, and more. If you get older, your love of toys just gets stronger. So protect those toys as best as possible by switching to Allstate.
Protect all your toys. Java lovers out there in radio land, it's a new year, and that means resolutions are made, and resolutions will be broken. I can tell you about a resolution that was made decades ago, that's never been broken, and that's the folks at Slow Works Coffee. They made about always keep their standards high, no matter what. That means you'll taste the difference for yourself when you drink Slow Works Coffee. That's because your friends at Slow Works Coffee can continue to provide their loyal customers with the freshest, highest quality coffee price in order to earn your continued loyalty. In case you don't already know it, you can enjoy this fine job at work. Just call Slow Roasted Coffee and let them know you'd like your workplace set up with hot pods and Slow Roasted Coffee, which will of course perk up the staff. All unintended. Slow Roasted Coffee, your neighbors and friends.
How does a shoe start like Mike's? Since the robot seems so big, they start taking a sort of to another level. Not just any sort of brands, but new ones and styles people love. Like any shoe 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 to tire with Mike's. Really, they're happy to make it good for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll find Mike's, you're looking for ends and shoes. The time you use this ad, just a fair way for perfect new shoes.
Shoes, that's South Side Promenade.
Let's meet and say hi to Dustin Bancroft.
Hi, how are you?
You came from where to here?
So it's one of those stories that say it like that. Trade Commission and Film Commission, they're all interested in taking this to the next level, hopefully to do the feature.
Well, this is really cool. So you have, and this, of course, this is to understand this. This, when people come to these film festivals, be they the premiere or they've been to others before, the idea is to attract enough attention with your film
sure.
to have somebody bigger than that say, okay, guess what, we're going to go ahead and do something with this and buy the rights to it. And so for that to be on the precipice for you right now, to be right up there, that's pretty cool.
It is.
That is cool.
We're really blessed.
But here's, now I'm wondering, this is rigged, folks. Here's why. Because you haven't even shown it yet.
Right.
But people have already seen it, obviously, and they like it.
We had a screening at our school. It's an unofficial screening. So by the standards of an international movie database and without a box for festival screeners, this has not been screened officially yet. So this is our first here in San Luis Obispo, first in California, and first in the world. So I'm really excited to do it here. We actually travel up and down Pismo and Villa and Paso Robles. We're wine snobs, so this is really like home for us, and we enjoy it that it ended up being here.
I was going to say, this is you've hit pay dirt here if you like wine. And this is interesting for those of us that have been here for many, many years. You know, I mean, there was a grape or two behind the mission, you
sure.
know, and then all of a sudden this industry just went
berserk
here. And now they're saying, as a matter of fact, in today's news they said the Central Coast should plant more grapes because there's going to be a greater demand.
Oh, wow.
And I have to tell you, for a guy that doesn't drink wine and you drive around and all you see is wine grapes as far as the eye can see, you guys drink a lot of that stuff.
We sure do.
Holy
we
dump
sure
truck. Do. You know what I'm saying? All right, so that's really fascinating. So let me once again, let's know who your performers are. Who's your star? Who are your stars?
Alice is our star. Her name is Kate Tawney. She's currently studying acting in New York right now, and I had the opportunity to meet with her in Los Angeles, and while she was living there, we did that film. Edmund Kohenauer is our... I guess you'd call him protagonist, antagonist to Alice in the story. And he's currently filming, I believe, in Los Angeles. And he came back from Puerto Rico, did a feature film. So I was really honored to have him. Colin King plays Ratu. He was found through Osea Kakimode, my Fijian brother. He works for the Fijian Trade Commission. And it was a challenge for him to play Ratu because he's half Fijian and half Indian. And what people don't know is India has a huge presence in Fiji because in the 1920s there was a slave trade to build the railroads and sugarcane fields. And as a result, there's a huge influx of two different cultures. And it was a challenge for him because there is a lot of racial tension between the two.
I bet. And is there still today?
Absolutely. There's a currently some political uprising that's happening. They seem to have a coup almost every 2 to 3, 4 years. Right now, their military leader took over the country, and so keep them in your prayers. There's a lot of stuff going on right now.
That and don't take your wife right now. Wait till the military,
right.
Wait till the military thing gets done.
Sure, sure.
Those things usually don't turn out that great.
Yeah.
Tell me more about Fiji. What's Fiji? Bill Benica said, I'm going to Fiji. What do I want to see if I go to Fiji?
You want to try to go to a deserted island.
Okay.
Yeah. Most islands there are, you'll fly into the main island, which is Viti Levu, into the city of Nandi, which is the dry side of the island. You usually want to venture either west where it's more wet, or if you stay on the dry side, you usually take a boat to another island and you stay there. There's Plantation Island, there's Castaway Island, there's Namotu, Tavarua. I surfed Namotu Island a few years ago. Best surf trip of my life.
Yeah.
Went there with my whole family.
Cool.
World-class surf. They have, you know, surf competitions there all the time. So you definitely have to go. Instead of bar hopping, we call it island hopping. So there's a bar at every island. So you just take a boat, make sure you have a designated driver in your boat, and we have a good time. And Castaway Island is actually the true island where they shot Castaway. And I met Wilson myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you might as well have. They might have that. Because here's what happened. I talked about this yesterday with another film person. You know, they did the movie Sideways here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so well, there was they went into about 5 wineries in Sideways. But if you go down to Buellton and that area down there, and San Ynez, and you find out that they'll even give you a map that say this is the Sideways wine tour,
mm-hmm.
and it includes 147 wineries. I mean, everybody's in there, and then it's just it's absurd. So anyway, but so this is where they actually filmed
Castaway. Yeah.
Not my favorite movie.
No,
of all time.
But you definitely have to go there for the surf, for the beaches. You got to try kava. Kava is a traditional drink there, and it's kind of like numbing your face. It doesn't. It's like alcohol that goes straight to your face instead of your whole body. But it's not just for the drink. It's a huge. I don't want to call it a ritual, but a tradition in their country. And as an American, it's real important that when you visit an island for the first time, you buy kava and present it to those who either own the island or who have precedence over it. It's basically paying homage to the potential mistakes you may make against their culture because of your ignorance. Like, I don't know what it's like to be from San Luis Obispo. I might make fun of a winery, but instead you hand them a bottle of wine, you hand them some roots of kava.
That's a fascinating story right
there.
That's interesting. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I wish I could hand my wife stuff so that I'd be out of trouble for the next
ten
things I did wrong.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm going to give you this, and I get a pass. How do you like that?
Jewelry works.
That's
pretty good.
What would you say if you had to say what are some of the more unusual customs in Fiji that you had to get used to the idea that you got to do this?
Funny story. I went into a small Fijian town with my brother and a few Fijians and some girls that were in our group, and one of the leaders of the group didn't know that he was sitting in one of the elders' spots in the hut, which they call mbure. The women sit on one side of the room, the men sit on the other. My brother didn't make the protocol meeting prior to this ritual we were having, a kava ceremony. So he not only did he sit on the wrong side with the women, but his legs were sideways, which is the way that the women sit. And the men sit cross-legged, like Indian style. So you could see the Fijian elders cracking up, but they were trying to hold their composure in front of the chief.
Oh,
and that was a tradition. I got used to, but of course my brother was a day late and a dollar short. The driving there is crazy. You don't want to be a pedestrian over there. In California, we're lucky. You know, most people respect pedestrians, but over there, they'll run you right over if you're not careful. I wouldn't call that a cultural custom, but that's just the way they drive down there.
No, and I've been to Southeast Asia.
Sure.
And they did the same thing there. You didn't want to be anywhere near. You didn't
sure.
want to be on a sidewalk, you know, in the street. You just stayed in your house. That's where you got to get from someplace. You got on the roof and hang light.
Another thing that's interesting about the cultural customs there is the people, when they speak to you out of respect, they look down. They don't look at you eye to eye, which I found was really strange for me. And I'd be looking at people straight in the eye. And what I didn't know is that I was actually doing something very disrespectful. towards them. And so that was something I had to get used to as well. Albeit I was their, you know, visitor and they wanted to respect me, but you got to be aware of those little innuendos.
Well, how do you find this stuff out? You know, the average dude that's going to, if Bill Benninger says, I'm getting on a plane tomorrow going to Fiji, I know it now.
Sure.
But how would anybody know this stuff? Is there some protocol? Do you land and they put you in a little hut and say, here, guess what you
got
to do?
We just got lucky. We had some friends that were living there and they gave us kind of, they were kind of our tour guide. You can read, you know, the small Fijian handbooks and they'll give you things like that. But you're safe if you stay at a resort. If you go venture out, then that's when you really
got to
consider.
That's going to change. Yeah, that's interesting because I went to Tokyo on R&R, mm-hmm. and I really loved I loved Japan. It was just gorgeous. But they have, you know, same thing. They have all these certain customs, and if you do it the wrong way, you're really doing the wrong thing. And so what was neat was at this army base where we landed, and then we went out from there. They spent an hour with us and said, okay, don't do this, do this, don't do this, whatever you do, don't do this. And, you know, but some of it was very, some of it was useful to me one time. They said, if you've been here a few days and you know where you're going, you know, and you think a cabbie's taking you around the block a few times, you know, tell him to drive to the police department.
Oh.
Now, unless he can talk you out of it, he is obligated to go to the police department. They will take him out of his cab, and they will put him across the back of it and paddle him in public.
No
yeah,
way.
This huge public humiliation thing. So sure enough, I was there about 5 days, my last day, I think. And this cab, I mean, I only had to go about four blocks, but I was too drunk to walk four blocks. So this guy puts me, I'm visiting all of Japan in this cab, you know. So I said, well, I think we need to go to the police department, you know. Oh, no.
Uh-uh.
Well, so I said, we really do, because, I mean, you just drive me all over to Japan. And he said, can I take you to your hotel right now? I said, that's what I asked you to do to begin with. He said, okay. So I said, I want to see the guy get whacked over the
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, but how interesting. How Fiji, you know, and you make it still sound exotic. I mean, you know, Fiji obviously is exotic, and it's really cool. Well, I'm really jazzed on this whole idea. Dustin Bancroft is my guest, and he's done this movie, Vidi, and it's set in the 1840s in Fiji. And, again, it's a period piece, and we don't often see that much at the film festival. It's, you know, usually whatever's what you didn't like when you first, you know, were going through school and saying, well, anybody can do a thing that's, you know, look out the window kind of thing. But this is, so I think this is really cool. I think this will be a lot of fun to do. Now, did you have to have, like, a costume person?
We had full wardrobe, full makeup. I had some historians help me out. Basiti Ratova works for the Fijian Times. She helped me as well, making sure we were accurate. And there were some inaccuracies that I made that I knew going into it, but it was for a certain purpose in telling a story. However, yeah, I hired a lot of people. Hired a professional production designer. We did graphic sketches before we made the clothing. Lucky for me, there were some Fijian friends that had historical clothing that we were able to use.
Cool.
We had to use costume houses for our missionaries, and then they fabricated some custom clothing for them as well.
That's really great. That's
so
really great.
I'm really grateful for my producers, my Fijian brothers and sisters, and I couldn't have done it without them.
Now I won't do this to you. I won't put you on the spot here. Somebody will tonight. I promise you.
Sure.
Or tomorrow. They're going to ask you because it is sort of it's you know, those of us that are just klutzies sitting around, you know, not making movies, we don't know how make movies are made.
Sure.
And so one of the questions I've noticed that comes up at the film festival often is who backed you to do this? How did you? And people have there's some tales of insanity of people trying to raise money through car washes and cookies and everything else, you know, to somebody having big backers because they just were lucky enough to do it. So you're going to be asked.
I am. Do you want to know?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. Well, we aligned ourselves with Fijian microfinancing. Which means that money that goes towards low-income people in Fiji, giving them opportunities for loans such as if they want to start a new business or have a car or literally buy cows for their farm or whatever it may be. So we aligned ourselves with an organization that was willing to give us nonprofit status so we could raise funds for the film to not only raise cultural awareness of Fiji, but also for microfinancing. So as a result, I was able to send letters to both family and friends, let them know, hey, I have this thesis film for school. I need to graduate. It's tax deductible. Help me out. And that was pretty much, and of course I pitched them the film. I gave them pictures and references to show them what it would look like, what the story's about, a copy of the treatment, which is kind of like a synopsis in a sense.
Well, you have, I mean, I have to say I admire this because you apparently have a lot of backers that really have a lot of faith in you. And and actually it sounds like they were just beyond that. They seemed enthusiastic about participating in this thing because it was Fuji. So that's pretty cool.
Yes.
I am going to say thank you very much for coming in today. This is Dustin Bancroft and his wife, Nicholas, hiding back there. But anyway, they're going to be here, and their two shows again are tonight at 6 p.m. in the Downtown Center and Saturday tomorrow night at 6 p.m. tonight, 9 p.m. tomorrow night in the Downtown Center. And it sounds like a movie certainly worth seeing. And you'll fall in love with Fiji and stuff, and then you'll go over there and you make a fool out of yourself because you won't know what to do. But anyway, it'll be a lot of fun for you. But I thank you guys very much
thanks,
for coming
Bill.
In and taking
appreciate
your time.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
He's the one who took out a lady.
Because I remember seeing it get posted to Reddit, and I thought, oh, that's so awesome of Peyton. What a great guy. And,
oh.
And I'm also a Skins fan, so I'm actually quietly...
Thank you.
you got to admit that.
Hey, it's Friday with Bill Benica. This is Talking Cheap, your friends and neighbors network. And we've got the film festival going on. Let me mention real quick a little bit of weather. We have a beautiful day today, and then we're going to go back about the mid-60s thereabouts for a few days. So get out today and get your tan, because you're going to get one day tan today. That's it. All right, and the film festival's in full swing, and I've been so very lucky to have some of our producers and directors and people come in here and help me out. And so I have two people with me now, Gail Mooney and Aaron Kelly, and I want to welcome them to KYNS. Hi.
Hi. Hi, thank you.
Welcome to San Luis Obispo. Welcome to the film festival.
Sunny San Luis Obispo.
It's a hoot. Now, do you like San Luis?
Absolutely.
It's beautiful.
Now, where are you guys from?
New Jersey. I live in Chicago now. So.
Where are you from in Jersey?
Morris County, the pretty part.
Yeah, I was from Essex. I was born in East Orange.
Okay.
And there's a lot. And I have to tell you something. This is like a tribal get-together again, but out here in San Luis Obispo, there's tons of people from New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
We decided we had to leave that and come here. Well, this is so cute how she said that, the nice part of New Jersey. Yeah, fine. Yeah, fine. Good for you.
Well, I like to tell people I used to live in Santa Barbara and moved to New Jersey. They think something went wrong in my life.
Now let's talk about let's welcome you here. I'm glad you're here. I'm sorry I didn't ask you really, Gail, where you live.
Morris County, New Jersey.
Oh, you still live
in Pacific?
There.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mendham.
Okay, good. And now you're in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good for you. It's cold and nasty and terrible in Chicago.
Only sometimes.
No, I was a sailor there. I know. All right, let's talk about this wonderful movie that you guys have, and it's called Opening Our Eyes. And it's playing twice. It's playing today. It played yesterday. I apologize. Played yesterday, and then it's playing tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Park Cinemas in Paso Robles. So you got. I don't know. I never have asked Wendy. How come you end up with two screenings and other people only get one?
I don't know.
That's
guess we got
cool.
Lucky.
You did. That's cool. That's very fun. Now I'm looking at you guys, and I'm thinking to myself as you tell me about this movie. You guys must have done a lot of traveling.
Yes, we did. Okay. 99 days.
Wow.
Circled the world.
Wow.
6 continents and 11 stories.
Mm-hmm. Took 30 flights, went to 17 countries, so it was a big trip.
14 vaccinations.
Got those in Chicago. Anyway, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's absolutely
it was all
amazing.
Creatively financed by airline points and hotel rewards, the kindness of strangers. We did a round of crowdfunding, to raise some money to pay an editor. So, a Cinderella story, so to speak.
All right, I want to mention Tom Kelly's in the background taking pictures. Not of me, of the people that she should take pictures of. What in the whole wide world made you wake up one day and say, I think we should take a 99-day trip around the world?
Well, part of the inspiration was someone that I went to high school with. Her name is Maggie Doyne. And she ended up taking a gap year after high school instead of going straight to college. She was doing some traveling and volunteering. She ended up in Nepal and wired over for all of her babysitting earnings and bought a plot of land and then built a children's home and now has about 40 kids living with her. She also built a school across the street for about 250 kids. So she was... she's certainly a local hero in our town and has provided a lot of inspiration and was a big part of the project.
So she was in contact with you.
Yeah, I mean, we had been following along with her story, and then my mom is the one who ultimately came up with the idea.
I was at a point in my life, Aaron had just graduated from Northwestern University and decided not to come back to New Jersey, and she's staying in Chicago. And so after about 3 weeks of boo-hoo of being an empty nester, I said, this isn't so bad. And I wanted to get back to my roots, which is travel. My background is a photographer. I shot a lot for the National Geographic and Smithsonian. But I wanted to travel for a purpose. So Maggie was the inspiration. I thought for every Maggie out there must be tons more around the world, people who are making a positive difference in our world, and that's what we set out to do. And so I put an email blast out there, and using social media, wanted to find people on every continent as our subjects. And the first person to respond to my email was Aaron, and my daughter, and she said, Mom, I want to do this with you. You told me to follow my heart, travel when I'm young, don't get bogged down by responsibilities. It'll be happen soon enough in your life. And I said, oh, my God, she listened to me all my life. So all her life.
The big surprise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't think you were listening.
Yeah. So that's how it started.
How fun. Mm-hmm. And so you graduated from Northwestern?
Yes.
And fought mm-hmm. on for her fame, is that how the song goes right there, the fight song for another?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see yeah. that? Yeah.
She should remember. She was in the marching band.
Yeah.
Yes, you should remember. You were in the marching band. I was never in a marching band. Thank you very much. All right. So you connected with this young lady. Then what happened next?
Well, then we had to go about going through tons of people that people had recommended. And since we were traveling on an award ticket, around the world award ticket, it with a lot of restrictions, it really came down to, out of all those subjects, who was going to be in Uganda when we were going to be passing through, that sort of thing. So we still have mountains of people. We could do this for the rest of our life, you know, do stories on people who are making a positive difference.
Do you? So one of the obvious questions with what's going on in Uganda on the Internet right now, which
yeah.
is huge.
Yeah.
Did you have concerns for yourselves as you went to some of these places?
Well, you know,
I didn't really think about that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
much.
The heart. I mean, you know, everybody says, "What was the hardest part?" It was. Like,
was it just the two of you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. just the okay. two of us. You know, two backpacks full
yeah.
of gear
yeah.
and two suitcases half full of gear and whatever clothes we could bring. But you know, I guess you know the hardest part was thinking about it before we left. You know, what about this? What about that? What if this went wrong? And there was, we knew we were going to Thailand, and we knew that there was political unrest there at the
right.
time. And, of course, the same thing happened when we got to Turkey. But once we got on the road, we just didn't, you know, we left the fears behind.
Good for you. I'm a wuss. I'd say, excuse me, there's something going on there, and I'm staying
yeah.
home. That's it.
Although my daughter was smarter than, you know, I would go running toward the action like the demonstrations in Istanbul, and she would just stand back and watch her mother get into the thick of it all, the smart one.
She was the running of the bulls.
Yeah.
Bull.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the amazing. Biggest things was also, I was a little afraid that the people who we had never met, we had just really corresponded through email, that maybe they would not show up or we wouldn't be able to connect with them once we got there. I mean, it was very kind of a tenuous situation. So, but everybody pulled through and they were all very welcoming. And
Everybody.
Everyone that we set up to meet. They showed
How
up and
cool
they gave
that?
Us their time and were very gracious and telling us their stories. So.
And they were all different, too.
Okay, so what was the longest time you spent in a country and the shortest time you spent in a country?
Probably the longest time was, what, 2 weeks with Maggie?
The span really was 2 days to 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah.
The shortest story.
Well, it
the
also
longest.
Sort of makes sense because, you know, Maggie's a friend and all that kind
right.
of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, it was difficult. I mean, there were days we didn't have electricity or water. We slept in a bamboo hut on the floor in Thailand in the remote hill tribe villages following a doctor into the hills. Then, of course, Australia was just the opposite. You know, we kind of
bartered
2 weeks in a hotel room in Sydney. And I did a video in exchange, you know, services in exchange. So we worked every angle we could.
Mm-hmm. Let me read this because I think it's important. And this is also in the film festival guide, by the way. It says, this documentary tells the stories of 11 people on 6 continents who are making our world a better place through the power of one person at a time. Did you? How did you do last night?
Great.
Did
great.
You
Aaron, you know
turnout?
The stats, right?
Yeah. Well, there are about 70 people that
cool.
showed up.
Cool, cool, cool.
Maybe 68. Exactly. We got out of the ratings that the audience voted, 50 of them voted for 5, which was the top.
Right.
And then, you know, like 11 fours and 2 threes. So Good everyone liked it or really liked it. So
Good
that
for
was
you.
Exciting.
Good for you. That's really neat. And the other thing is that I know you know this. It happened last night and it will happen again tomorrow. Do you like the fact that people can ask you questions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
know?
The best part.
I like it, the fact that I get to ask them first, if I can think of them.
That's actually the best part, because one of the reasons we did this film was to show people, and, you know, we say it's more than a movie, it's a movement, you know, and if people just kind of thought, one person made a great statement in the film, and she said, water is hot at 211 degrees. At 212, it boils. That's a 1 degree difference. She says, so I like to challenge people, what's a 1 degree difference that you, move that you could make.
Very
and so that's what our goal is, to inspire and motivate others.
My guests today are Gail Mooney and her daughter Erin Kelly, and together they went around the world. It took 99 days to do it, and what they were looking for was people that have inspired them and others to do things that maybe seem almost impossible to do. And is there anybody else? I don't want to give away everything in the movie. I really don't want to do that. But let's do one more. Let's do another person somewhere. And you mentioned it being in Thailand. There was a doctor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. David Marna. And he just travels mostly by foot. And he did have somebody donate a truck to him.
So he's a doctor who just travels around these remote hill tribe villages in northern Thailand and gives free medical treatment. And in addition to that, he tries to meet the underlying needs and solving the problems where they start, for example, using toilets, having access to that and running water,
clean
water. So he has been building pipelines to bring fresh water down to the villages, as well as building toilets for every family so that, for example, diarrhea, which would be a major illness in many of these villages, was ultimately solved.
And it's fatal in a lot of cases.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So, and these are people that are from what used to be called Burma, and you know, way up in the hills near the border. So they're refugees. And in Thailand, if you don't have a card, an identity card, you can't go to the hospital and get medical treatment. So this is why one of the reasons he's doing this.
Wow.
But it ran from anywhere from doctors to tango therapists in Argentina.
Really?
So it's a real range of characters. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is. How fascinating. And again, these people came to you how?
Just through either someone we knew or someone who knew someone we knew, all word of mouth. I mean, that's the beauty of social media these days.
And they knew people all in these all crazy far-flung places.
Yeah. Sometimes if they took a vacation somewhere and met someone, you know, or volunteered with someone, they would recommend that person because of their experience there. Or they know, a friend of a sister, cousin, you know, was over in this country one time. Or
no, I'll ask abroad. You. This is going to be fun to ask you now because of the last guest I had in here. And so he went to, and his movie's about Fuji.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of customs in Fuji that are like sideways. Why did we all look at him at once?
His phone went off.
That's okay. I didn't hear it, but when you two looked over, I thought, I better find out what's going on over there. I'm glad you're okay. Is that all right?
You probably didn't hear it with the focus on the mic.
Tom's okay. He's in good shape. Sorry. So when he went to Fuji, here's one of the first things they found out the hard way and then had to tell somebody, ask somebody, what's going on with that? It's disrespectful in Fuji to look somebody in the eyes when you talk to them.
Really?
Everybody looks down when they talk.
Oh.
So, I mean, how weird. Now, so you had to have gone into situations.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't have much time to have a figure out what to do and what not to do. How'd you
no.
do that?
Well, you just rely on your instincts, you know.
Well, your instinct isn't to look at the ground when you're talking to me. You know, I mean,
you pick up on things pretty quick if you're tuned in. Yeah. And, you know, when you're traveling, not in a group, but solo or just with one other person, you're more likely to be immersed in a culture. Then I think that's one benefit that we did have. I mean, we didn't have money. We didn't have a crew. But we got the story, and we got a very intimate story because it was just the two of us. We became very attached to these people.
We find out at the film festival that it's absolutely, to me, remarkable how people like yourselves can do this on a shoestring.
Yeah.
I mean, just somehow get through this and do it. I talked to some people yesterday. It took them 2 years to make the movie that they were making, and because it involved a cross-country trip, they'd do it, and then 6 months later, they'd make some more money, and then they'd call as actors and say, okay, you got to meet me in Bismarck, North Dakota. And luckily, had actors that were friends that said, okay, we'll meet you in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Yeah.
But it's I find it absolutely fascinating. Part of this, I think, must be because in your situation, Gail, has to do with the National Geographic stuff and the photography work you've done.
Well, I've always been a storyteller. That's where my heart is, you know. And like you said, when it became possible because of technology to make a film with no money and no crew, I realized I had always kind of thought cinematically anyway, and I just went for it. This is really the first feature film I've ever done. This is the first film festival we've been in. There's a lot of firsts.
Okay, so this is the world premiere?
Yep.
I get jazzed when we have world premieres right there. I think I should have special music or something.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, really. Now, that's really cool. I really like that. And there was something that just came to mind and left. Come, bring it back, Bill. Bring it back. I'm too old. It doesn't come back. Once it goes, it's gone. It doesn't come back. But one of the things I was thinking about was, okay, now, is this something, where do you find your ambitions now in this? Would you like a company to pick this thing up and expand on it?
Sure. You know, I went to one crazy kind of pitch event in Los Angeles. I have a friend down there who's in the TV business, and she thought this would make a great series, you know. So I've never been anything like that in my life. It was kind of like speed dating, you know, and you'd give your pitch, you'd show your reel and be in and out. And most of the people were like, you know. And there were a couple of interesting experiences. A couple of people really liked it, but I love the one guy's response, who was a hardcore sort of reality TV guy, and he goes, "You got any of that mother-daughter conflict stuff?" And I'm like, "No, man, it's not that kind of movie."
That's fun. So let me ask you a question. How, after 99 days, and how did you two do together?
Pretty good. We never really fought. We just sort of, you know, if we were annoyed with each other, we just ignored each other for the day.
And then you'd say, "You got to start filming." So, yeah. Get smiling. That's very interesting, because I mean that's a fairly intense situation.
It is. Because there's nowhere to go.
Yeah. That's very we were sleeping in the same bed, and you know, and on the same floor or what have you. But the cool thing was, before we left, we started blogging, and we didn't realize it at the time, but we were building an audience for this, because people love to follow our journey. You know, so wherever we went, we would just add entries to our blog and post pictures and podcasts and things like that. So people got very engaged with it, especially, you know, for a lot of reasons. Certainly the journey and what we were doing, and the mother-daughter aspect. And
I hadn't thought of the mother-daughter aspect, really. I'm not into reality shows that much. Yeah. Reality to me is what I do every day. I don't need to see somebody else's reality.
Right.
I'm trying to struggle with mine.
But I mean, I'd get a lot of emails from women my age, and they'd say, "Oh my goodness, I wish I had done something like that with my mother, or I'd love to do something like that with my daughter." And people Aaron's age would say, "You're going around the world with your mother." You know, it was interesting. Different perspectives.
That is interesting. Now, is there a blog place people can go to?
OpeningOurEyes.net.
OpeningOurEyes.net. Don't forget, the name of the movie is Opening Our Eyes. It's OpeningOurEyes.net. And what will they find there?
Well, they'll find, if they go back all the way to 2010 or January 5th, 2010, when we launched the blog, they can read all our journeys, see lots of pictures, see the trailer of the movie, some podcasts, lots of stuff.
So now, when you did your speed dating down there, how'd that go? I mean,
it went pretty good.
When you finally got done, was there somebody that said, "You know what, I want to talk to you some more"?
Yeah, well, actually, they say, don't even bother giving somebody a card. You know, they said, if you get their card, that's a big deal. I walked away with two cards
Good for you.
And we'll see what happens, you know. They're kind of middlemen, so they have to go to their people and see if they can sell this type of thing. But we'll see. You know?
I have a good feeling about this for you guys.
Oh, we do
because
too.
It's a very special idea to begin with, and to have, you know, to go around the world and find people that are doing really nifty stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they're doing on it. It sounds to me like in most cases they're doing on shoestrings.
Oh yeah.
And trying to get this done. Mm-hmm. I have to ask you though. I have to ask you. Was there a harrowing moment at any time?
Well, there was one bad...
Besides you rushing into protests and all that, and poor Aaron over here flipping out.
Well, one kind of bad experience. We were transiting through Belarus, Minsk, Belarus, a flight from Warsaw, Poland, to Moscow. And to take a 10-minute walk through the airport, they charged us $600, mm-hmm. $300 each for transit visas. Mm-hmm. That was not so fun. But I was so upset, and Aaron was calming me down. I kind of got on the plane finally, and I took the in-flight airline magazine, and anywhere I could find a white space, I wrote my rant. And then when I got to a computer, I blogged about it, and I got hate mail from every Belarusian travel agent I didn't even know existed. But then 2 months later, somebody wrote, it's because of people like you, the law was changed in Belarus that if you transit for less than, you know, if you're going through for less than 24 hours, you don't pay anything. I'm like,
really?
Yes.
How cool is that? That's so absolutely
that fabulous. Was my change.
Good
over
you.
Yeah.
she did it right there. Opening Our Eyes is the name of the movie. It played last night, and if you didn't get to see it, guess what? You're in luck because it's going to play once again tomorrow. It'll be at the Park Cinemas in Paso Robles. It'll be 11 o'clock, so you have time to sleep in and go to Paso. It's no big deal. And then do wine and all that stuff afterwards. And so I really think this is going to be a winner of a movie. We thank Tom for being here and taking pictures and having a cell phone. And then and I want to thank Aaron Kelly and Gail Mooney. What wonderful guests you've been. And I
thank
think
you.
This movie
thank
is just going to be fabulous. And I look forward to seeing it myself if I can see it. All right. Well, thank you very
great.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank
you
very much. Okay. Appreciate it.
CBS News, I'm Sam Litzinger. A manhunt's underway around Monticello, Washington for a man suspected of